You're listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights. With reviews, news, and discussions, we celebrate the best of gaming and call out the worst. Along with your host, longtime gamer, master of the obvious, and grumpiest old man, Matt Ailey. What's going on? What is going on? Welcome to episode 24. I'm your host, Matt Ailu. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here, even though you've never heard of this podcast before. You've never heard of me. I'm just a random voice in the wind or on the internet or whatever. But yet, you've taken a chance on this podcast. You've given it a chance. You've come to see what is going on, and I appreciate that so much. Whether it is your first episode, whether you have come back time and time and time again, thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it so much, and I'm not going to let you down. Welcome to Gaming Night Radio. So today, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have some actually great discussions kind of planned out, and I'm very excited to sit down and talk with you about them because, yeah, maybe I'm going to have a little bit of a different opinion. You might have a different thought on this, and I think it gives us a great opportunity to really sit down, dig through a couple topics, and get a little bit of discussion going here as well between me and you, and see if we can come to some sort of answer as we go here. But today, we're going to discuss and take a look at the future of trilogies in the gaming industry, and will they still exist? And what is the evidence that we're looking at right now in the gaming industry for trilogies to exist, or will they go the way of the dodo and just be gone? We'll have to wait and see. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the episode. But first, we're still feeling the wave that was the PlayStation presentation, and now the attention has turned to Xbox. Do they need a superhero exclusive game? That is just one of the questions we're going to be tackling. All this and more is coming up right now on this episode of Gaming Night Radio. So if you have thoughts, questions, topics, or content you would like to hear on this podcast, here is how you can connect with me. Leave a message on speakpipe.com/GKRadioConnect. You can email me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. Follow me and DM me on Twitter at GKRadioMan. And we're also going to be live recording very, very soon. We're going to be recording these episodes live on Twitch. So if you want to come be a part of that, hang out and be a part of the conversation live, make sure you head over to the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/gamingnightradio, and follow me there so you don't miss any of the live recordings or even some of the live streams with gameplay. And we're going to be playing some games in the future coming up here too. So if you don't want to miss any of that, head on over to twitch.tv again, /gamingnightradio. Now, you don't have to remember any of those links. I've put them all in the show notes for you. So just open up the show notes, go right on in there, and give them a click, and away we go. With that all out of the way, let's get started on today's episode. And we'll start with topic number one. Now, like I said, we're going to be having a conversation a little bit later when it comes to the trilogies in the gaming industry and if they're going to be viable moving forward. But first, we're going to hit kind of our main topic of the day, and that's talking about Sony and the effect of the Sony PlayStation conference and what effect that has had in the conversations around the gaming industry. And so that's going to be our first topic today. I figure we got this great conversation a little bit later too, so let's just hit this thing head on. So that's what we're going to do. Now, let's be real here. Sony had a really great showcase. A really great showcase. Not just in the video games, and we'll talk about that in a quick sec, but in how it was constructed, in how it was balanced, the way they presented everything, and the quality of the content they presented. Whether you're a PlayStation fan, or a PlayStation owner, or whether you're an Xbox fan, or an Xbox owner, or PC, looking at the games that are coming down the pipeline has to get you excited. Listen, maybe you don't play PlayStation, so you're like, listen, I don't care about these exclusives. It doesn't matter to me. And that's fair. That's completely fair. But at the other end of the other end of that spectrum there, and the other end of the thought process is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I don't really know. If you have a next-gen console or you have a high-end PC, you got to look at those games, and you can't. How can you not be excited at the direction the gaming industry is going, and the different quality we're gonna get once we leave behind this next-gen, cross current gen mix and just go fully into the power of next gen consoles and fully embrace these high end PCs. I'm so excited for what the future of gaming has for us, and Sony has done a great job in showcasing that. Again, specifically their exclusives, but it kind of gives us a peek in behind the curtain of what's going to be coming up 2023, 2024, the quality of games we're going to be able to see, and that is very, very exciting. So they had a great showcase. There's no two ways about it. They had a great showcase. And of course, like any group that has a great showcase, whether talking about PlayStation or Xbox, over the course of time, we get hyped right initially. We're very excited for all the things that are coming, but the conversation always changes. And it begins to shift and focus on the other guy. Whether it's Xbox or Sony. In this case, it's Xbox. But really, when Xbox had their great presentations at E3 and just after E3, and even Gamescom too, right? Everyone's like, where is Sony? How is Sony going to compete with this? This is mad. That was the conversation. But now we're kind of in the flip situation where Sony has come out. They've given a great showcase, a great presentation. And now the focus shifts to Xbox. And those are the same questions that are being asked about Xbox. Even though just a couple months ago, back in June, those were the questions being asked to Sony. Now it's being asked about Xbox. So, of course, the focus shifts. And in this case, Sony had a great showcase. So now we're going to be looking at Xbox. And these are different conversations I've seen on social media. So it always depends who you follow on social media, who's on Twitter, what comments you see. But a lot of the discussion and a lot of the questions being brought up are, when it comes to Xbox, are they doing enough? Are they doing enough? Sony had a really strong showing of really strong content. And the question is Xbox doing enough to compete with that? Another question I've seen is, do they need to step up their exclusive superhero IP game? Because Xbox does not have an exclusive superhero game. So that's the question, is do they need that to survive? These are different questions I'm seeing. And one of the other big ones too, was losing Knights of the Old Republic a big loss for Xbox? So these are just some of the conversations I see having. These are kind of like the three big questions. And again, depending on who you follow, who you listen to, what comments you see, some people, you're going to have extremes where they say, Xbox is dead, Sony just destroyed them, there's no hope, it's over for them. Other people are going to say, well, the Sony thing wasn't nothing. But we're going to look at this from the perspective of really more of a balanced perspective if we're looking at the reality here. And at the end of the day, whether Xbox has a great showcase or PlayStation has a great showcase, we all know at the end of the day, it's not going to kill either console. So I'm going to come out here and we're going to have a conversation about what does this now mean for Xbox? And we're going to take a shot at answering, I guess, those three questions. Was losing KOTOR a miss? Do they need a superhero IP? And are they doing enough? And I'll tell you what. The answers that I kind of thought up, it's not as bad as one might think it is. Xbox isn't in such a bad position as we might think it is. So let's get into it. Let's start with KOTOR. Knights of the Old Republic. Now, this was a game. The original came out back in, I think it was 2000. Was it 2001? Same year as the original Xbox launched? I think it was. It was my favorite game. It was my absolute favorite game on the original Xbox. Listen, I love Halo. I loved Halo 2. I love MechWarrior, Crimson Skies. There was a lot of really great games on the original Xbox. Absolutely loved it. But Knights of the Old Republic was just in a league of its own. It was absolutely in a league of its own. It was such a great and rich game. At the time, the combat was great. The worlds were amazing and open and vast and beautiful. Again, at its time, I wouldn't compare it to open worlds nowadays. But what still holds up better than anything else is the story. is the characters, is the writing, is the atmosphere of the world and all the characters who inherit it and exist in it. That still stands up. And because of those reasons, Knights of the Old Republic was absolutely my favorite game. I still have Knights of the Old Republic still installed on my Xbox Series X right now. And I just finished a playthrough probably a couple months ago. It's still that good. I still play it. And I absolutely love this game. So when I see Knights of the Old Republic is getting a remake, not just a remaster, a remake, and it's exclusive to the PlayStation 5. Listen, I gotta call it as it is. Whether you love Xbox, whether you have PlayStation, I don't care. I'm calling it like it is. I feel like this is a miss for Xbox. This is an absolute loss. This is an absolute miss on their part. This is something they should have put in a little bit more effort and make sure they nabbed it. And they didn't do it. And why I think it's a miss is because Knights of the Old Republic is a legendary Xbox exclusive. It's not just some third-party Star Wars game. It's not just some game everybody was able to play. You had to have an Xbox. You could play it on PC, I guess, as well. But when it came to the consoles, you had to play it on Xbox. It is the best Star Wars game to date still, in my opinion, hands down. And it was exclusive on the original Xbox. So for it to be exclusive now on PlayStation 5 is really, really odd. It's really odd. It would be like Metal Gear Solid 1, which was, I would say, a legendary PlayStation game. I think it was on the PlayStation 1 that I played that. And wrapped, that was the first game I've ever wrapped in my life, was Metal Gear Solid 1. For a remake of that being exclusive to Xbox Series X, could you imagine that? PlayStation fans, people would be losing their freaking minds. So for Knights of the Old Republic, which is, I would say, same level as far as legendary exclusives go, to be going to the PlayStation 5, that's crazy. And I'd say that is a miss. Is it devastating? Is it going to end Xbox? Absolutely not. And at the end of the day, listen, the original game is still on Xbox. It's still the only place you can play beside PC. So if you don't even like the remake, just go back to playing the original. It's still great. Maybe the graphics are a little rough for wear, but it has been updated with backwards compatibility. Not remade, but you got that upgrade, the visual upgrade there as well. But it's still on there. So if you don't like that one, you can still just play the OG. It's still exclusive. And when we look at the remake, it is a timed exclusive. Now, I don't know if that means timed as far as PlayStation then going later to PC, or it's on PlayStation, PC, later coming to Xbox. That has not been clarified. But it's a timed exclusive. And the third point, really, they could have something up their sleeves. I have to believe and have to think that for Xbox to say, we don't want KOTOR. We don't want Knights of the Old Republic. Let PlayStation have it. They have to have something up their sleeve, right? They have to have something. Some ace that they haven't revealed yet that would make it all make sense. Don't know what it is. Not sure. But yeah, it's something that we're going to have to absolutely wait and see. So while it's not a devastating loss at the end of the day, it's still just one of those things where that should be on Xbox. And the fact that they didn't get that is, it's a loss. It's still a miss. It's still a miss. Now the question, let's move on to the next one here. Do they need an exclusive superhero IP? That's the question. That's the big one that I've been seeing, I would say, mostly when it comes to social media. Do they need an exclusive superhero IP? And I would say there, the answer to that is no. No. Is there a benefit to having one? Yes, absolutely. But do they need one? No. They definitely don't. Superheroes are the hot thing right now. I understand that. They bring a lot of tension. They bring a lot of players. They bring a lot of people who are excited for the IP. And it works really great on PlayStation. Because PlayStation, their benefit strategy, when you look at it, it really is their stellar IPs, their stellar exclusives that are really high quality, that are just above bar of anything else. It's just way better than anything else. And I absolutely love it. Love them for that. It's their game quality and exclusivity that really makes PlayStation a huge, huge benefit to playing these really great AAA narrative-driven games. And superhero games are some of them, like Spider-Man coming up, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Spider-Man 2, and, of course, Wolverine. Those are on their way. But with Xbox, it goes beyond just their exclusives. It's not just their great video game exclusives are their only benefit. Xbox's benefit strategy is not going to, this isn't going to make or break their system on their strategy. Because their benefit strategy right now is making games as accessible as possible. That's their strategy. That's their ace in the hole. Game Pass, streaming, cloud gaming, multiple different systems. Play however you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. That's really their thing. That's their huge benefit right now. And exclusives obviously help draw people in to Game Pass and in different ways. But listen, I don't think a Marvel's exclusive superhero IP or a DC exclusive superhero IP is going to deter someone from buying an Xbox. Like, oh, they don't have Spider-Man? Nah, I don't want anything they're offering right now. Because Xbox is offering the Xbox Series S, which is a really cheap console for what it does, along with Game Pass. You can just play a whole bunch of games already. And then you can play it on your mobile. You can play it on your PC now. You can stream right to your PC. They're just making it so accessible to be a gamer right now. They made a console that is cost-friendly, and they're bringing games to that console in a vast array with Game Pass that, I don't know, if I was a kid, I would be absolutely loving it, because gone are the days with Xbox where you had to buy a console, and then you could only buy one or two games, and you're constantly just playing those one or two games forever. Now, their benefit structure is, get this console. It's not as expensive. Here's a cheaper version if you can't get the Series X. Get the Series S. And then you're paying, what, $15 a month for Game Pass. And you can play hundreds of games right now. Hundreds of games right now. That is their benefit structure. So will exclusives and superhero exclusives help with that structure? Absolutely. But it's not going to be a make or break thing for them, because that's not the core pillar of their benefit structure. And when you look at the Xbox Studios, they're making their own diverse library of exclusive games. And when it comes to the studios, let them make what they want. If they want to make a superhero game and they can get the contracts and the licensings and all the plans and get that in the pitches and it works, then yeah, absolutely great. Let them do that. But let them create what they want. Let them be creative and create these new IPs and these new worlds that are going to be special and exclusive to Xbox. And we don't know. Coming up, Xbox, we'll get into that. I guess we'll get into this next point in just a sec, but there could be an exclusive superhero game on the way already. We might just not know about it. So yeah, do they need a superhero IP? No. Is there a benefit to having one? I think we can all agree to yes. But do they need it? Absolutely not. Now, let's go to this third question. Is Xbox doing enough? Because that is one of the bigger questions. This last one we talked about is the one I've seen the most. But this is one of the bigger questions in terms of how the general gaming audience views the perspective between these consoles. Because for a lot of people, for me, I love them all for different reasons. That's cool. And I hope you feel the same way. You're just a fan of gaming and we can have these great conversations. But there are people who are exclusive fans of each console. And that's okay too, as long as you don't get too crazy about it. But it's always this competition, right? And competition's good. It's healthy. And when you get these, again, big presentations, people are always thinking like, oh, now this other console, how's it going to compete? So one of the questions is Xbox doing enough really to compete with PlayStation right now after that crazy presentation? And the answer is, of course, yes, they are. Absolutely, they are doing enough. Now, when it comes to these presentations, we're victims of the moment, people. We're victims of the moment. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. It happens to you. It happens to everybody. We see these big presentations. They make big waves. We get so excited. And we just like, we just completely forget what the other guy showed us maybe a month or 2 months earlier. And we're like, oh, that other console, they're dead, man. How are they even going to compete with this? This is crazy. And then a couple months later, the other console put out something and it's back to the same thing. How's this guy going to compete now? This is crazy. We become victims of the moment and caught up in the hype, caught up in the big wave. And in this case, one of the things to remember, because we get so excited about it, is Sony also showed a lot of games that may be coming in 2024 and beyond. Right? So that's one of the things, like, while we see all these exciting things from Sony, you got to remember, these aren't all coming out 2021, 2022. Some of these are going to be 2024, maybe 2025 that we saw. Right? So while we get the wave and the hype about it, a lot of these are really far out. And we hardly have any idea what's coming from Xbox next year in 2022. We know a couple games, but we don't know all the games, let alone 2024, let alone 2023. We just have no idea what they have in store. So while in the moment right now, it feels like Sony's doing really big things, and they are, and it's great, Xbox is doing enough. We just haven't seen it yet. And when they do reveal a little bit more, maybe next year when Sony's quiet again, that same thing is going to happen. We're going to get hit with the wave, and we're like, Sony, I don't know. You got some great games coming, but Xbox has more games coming, or Xbox has this game now. How are you going to compete? That's going to be the conversation, mark my words. But when it comes to Xbox right now, we have no idea what's in store. They could have a superhero game already coming, already planned, maybe coming out 2022, 2023. We don't know. They could have a Star Wars game on the way. We don't know. We heard rumors of a new Xbox acquisition. Maybe it's even announced by the time you're listening to this podcast. And who knows what else? Who knows what else? So while in the moment, when we're watching these presentations and we're caught up kind of in the wave of them still afterwards, because it was a great presentation, it can feel like Xbox is falling behind, or it can feel like Sony is falling behind. But in reality, especially when it comes to Xbox in this situation, they aren't. Xbox is nowhere near falling behind. They're just getting started, and we have no idea what's coming down the pipeline. So just be patient. Don't allow yourself to become a victim of the moment. Just be patient and see what Xbox has coming out next for us when they show us a little bit more of the big picture. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, my answers to those three questions. And after events like these, whether it's Xbox or PlayStation, I said this before, the focus is always, you know, turns to look at the other guy. We get excited, we get hit by the wave, we're excited about the games, we're excited about the different announcements, we're hyped, we're ready to go, but then the focus always shifts to the other guy, and in the heat of the moment, we're like, I don't know, that one maybe looks like they're falling behind. But that's not the case. We're just so often, more or less, the victims of the moment. And once we see the full picture and what the other guys bring into the table and the other different games and announcements, once we get a better idea of the big picture, we often feel differently. And in this case, after this great PlayStation presentation, listen, Xbox is doing just fine. They're doing just fine. While Knights of the Old Republic was a miss, it wasn't catastrophic. It's not going to end them. It's not the end of the world. We'll deal with it. They don't need a superhero exclusive. Their benefit strategy is diverse enough to stand on its own. And they have so much more coming that we just have no idea about at all. Xbox is just getting started. Don't worry about them. They're doing just fine. Let me know what you think about this conversation when it comes to looking at Xbox. Do you have these same questions in your head? Are you trying to wrestle and figure out answers for these same questions? Do you think Xbox is doing enough? Do you think they need their own exclusive superhero IP? And do you think losing KOTOR was a big miss for them? Let me know what's on your mind. And with that, we'll take a quick step away from our main topics of the day, and we'll head into this week's segment of Quickfire News. Christmas is always a hard time on wallets, especially for gamers looking to expand their console storage. Well, I have some good news for Xbox players' wallets. A smaller and cheaper storage card may be available soon. A report from French website Xbox Squad states Seagate is selling a 500GB card to suppliers and could be on sale as soon as November. The card would obviously come at a cheaper price than the current 1TB card and make a great option for folks who need a little bit more storage but don't want to put up the $220. So this Christmas, get your gamer wallet the perfect gift it's always wanted. The gift of spending less money. In shocking news, the new PlayStation model is actually not worse. If you were hiding under a gamer rock last month, Austin Evans did a test on the new PlayStation 5 model and concluded it may be worse because of the smaller heatsink and the high temperature the console was outputting. Now this got the internet heated up. Huh? And no one's been sure which is worse ever since. Until now, Digital Foundry has run new tests, testing the newer model's inner temperatures and performance, and found that the differences were actually minimal at best. And the new PlayStation 5 model is not better or worse than the old model. So gamers can confidently go forward now without fear and purchase the new model, which they were doing anyway because PlayStation 5. In Nintendo news, Nintendo Switch may be getting a new controller. Nintendo insider Samus Hunter spotted a new FCC filing for a new Switch controller, but unfortunately, all the details were locked for 6 months. Now, nobody knows what the controller looks like, but that isn't going to stop the internet from starting rumors. One going around is it will be an N64 controller made for the N64 game library that will be coming to the Switch. And I do like that rumor. Play some classic GoldenEye, slappers only on that classic weird three-prong controller. It will be a blast to the past, and it will be really, really cool. So, but yeah, I kind of like that rumor. Hopefully that one is kind of what it is. But whatever this new Switch controller is, it looks like we'll be waiting 6 months to find out. The gaming delay season continues, but this one isn't so bad. Battlefield 2042 has been delayed, but only about a month, and will be released on November 19th. The delay, of course, was caused by the global pandemic, which we all know at this point is just a huge pain in the butt. But a delay is better than a game that's not ready. So this delay has actually put Battlefield 2042 smack dab in the holiday release season, with Call of Duty Vanguard coming out a couple weeks before it and Halo Infinite a couple weeks after. Talk about a first-person shooter sandwich. Unless one of those is also the victim of delay season, but we'll just have to wait and see. Are you tired of playing Xbox and getting kicked off the TV so your mom can watch Grey's Anatomy? Well, worry no more. Thanks to a recent update, Windows 10 PCs can now stream cloud and console games using the Xbox app. Even if you have a toaster of a computer with remote play, you can just keep on playing your Xbox games right where you left off. Just another feature from Xbox, allowing you to play wherever, however you want. So don't cry next time your mom wants to watch Grey's Anatomy. Just boot up that old toaster and keep the good times rolling. In a stunning move of straight lines, expert precision, and the smell of fresh cut grass, for a brief time, Lawn Mowing Simulator had more views on Twitch than Warzone. Boom! Boom! Oh, how the mighty have fallen for a brief amount of time and then immediately returned to the top, but this is still a total win for a game about mowing lawns. Lawn Mowing Simulator, we salute you, for you have shown us anything is possible. And that's it for this week's segment of Quickfire News. Now back to our main topics. All right, let's move into topic number two now. It's been a little while since we did Quickfire News. I was looking through my list and my notes. I was like, dang, it's probably been a couple of weeks, maybe over a month since we did the last episode of Quickfire News. It's been crazy. There's always so many things to talk about, but I was glad to do it. Those are kind of fun to look at some of the smaller stories, throw a couple little jokes in there. I got my jokes really weren't too on point today, but jokes enough. Anyway, let's get into this next part of the discussion, and it's also kind of about the Sony conference as well. We're kind of, again, still feeling the effects of that, still dealing with everything we've heard. And one of the games that was announced, of course, was God of War Ragnarok. Now, it was announced last year as well, but obviously this is when we actually got our first gameplay and our first good solid look at God of War Ragnarok. And I'm very excited for this game. This game, you know, the first God of War was one of my favorite games when it came to the PlayStation 4. I absolutely love it. The combat was great. The story was great. Having this more deeper character-driven Kratos other than just like, destroy, murder, rip people's heads off, this more thoughtful character and him grappling between being a father, knowing his past and trying to do right by his wife. Like, it was just this really interesting story, of course, and the world was great. Atreus was great. The different Norse stories and the lore that you heard was great, and how they actually use that in this game. It was so cool. I loved God of War. So God of War Ragnarok, I'm on board. I'm totally on board, and I'm very, very excited about it. One of the things that surprised me, and this wasn't during the actual presentation, it was during that afterwards part, was when Corey Barlog said it was going to be the end of the Norse story. This was surprising to me. This was surprising to me because I thought, and I wrongly assumed, but I think like most of us, that it was probably going to be a trilogy, because that's how most games are. That's what we're used to. That's kind of our video game storytelling expectation. And it happens a lot in media too, right? You get the stories of three, whether it's in books, whether it's in video games, whether it's in movies, you kind of have that three story arc that kind of fills out a really nice trilogy. Like if Star Wars all of a sudden wasn't like the prequel trilogy or the original trilogy, it was like the sequel quadrilogy, it would kind of be a little bit weird. It'd throw us off a little bit. Or if there's only two in like a story arc and not three, it would throw us off a little bit. So for me, I was thinking, yeah, of course, you know, when I played the first game, there's going to be three of these, but that is not the case. And now we know why. Now we know why. So during an interview with YouTube channel Captain Kuba, God of War director Corey Barlog explained why the Norse storyline is coming to an end. So I just want to read this to you from an article on Oh man, it must be getting late. I cannot say letters. NME is what I'm trying to say. NME, I'll put a link down. It's in the show notes. There's links to all the different articles and sources where we get the stories and what we talk about. So you can go head down there and read it yourself. But I'll read you this one part here. And this is from Corey Barlog. I think one of the most important reasons is the first game took 5 years. The second game, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm just going to throw out that it's going to take close to a similar time to do this right. And when you think, wow, a third one in that same amount of time, we're talking like a span of close to 15 years for a sting of a single story. 15 years of a single story, and I feel like that's just too stretched out. I feel like we're asking too much. To say the actual completion of that story taking that long just feels too long. And that was the director of the first God of War, Corey Barlog. And when you look at it that way, from what he's saying, and how long these games take to develop, and the length of them, and the time, and asking people to stay engaged in that same story for that long, when you look at it, it kind of makes sense why this story and the direction they're going in isn't a trilogy. And again, like I said, I assumed it was going to be. And traditionally, that's how it is. So with that being said, with understanding that, our viewpoint coming into it, and his viewpoint as the developer and the ones making it, the question I ask you, and something I've been thinking about over the last week as we've been kind of, again, dealing with all this news, taking it in and consuming it and digesting it, is do we need to change our expectations for trilogies when it comes to gaming? That's really the question to me right now, and that's kind of the thing I've been thinking about. Because we have our expectations. We think things are going to be a certain way, and sometimes when they're not, maybe we're a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed there's not going to be a third Norse game. I mean, I'm cool with it as long as it's great. I'm fine, but I am a little disappointed. So it's like, yeah, do I need to change my expectation for gaming? So to find this kind of, I mean, we're going to tackle this question. Maybe we won't find a definitive answer to it. And that's why it's a great discussion. And I want you to weigh in on this discussion as well. Whether you send it to email, whether you do a voicemail chat here with me. You know, again, all those links are in the show notes as well that you can jump down, give your opinion, because I really want to hear what you think of this. Because if you love trilogies, if you love these narrative-driven games that, you know, usually come in threes and it's this nice full story, what do you think of maybe trilogies not being around? So we're going to tackle this question. So here's a couple notes that I made, kind of made a pros and cons list, you know, what's kind of standing against trilogies when we look at the gaming culture and where the industry is heading right now, and what is for trilogies. So there's kind of against trilogies and for trilogies. And these are some of my notes. So if you have more notes to add on these things, again, jump in the conversation. Let me know. Now, first one is kind of like Corey said, cost and time it takes to make games may lead to less traditional trilogies or one-off stories. I could see, you know, and it's not just God of War. There's a lot of games nowadays that we look at and we're seeing, you know, it used to be 2 years develop time for a lot of different sequels, 2 to 3 years. That used to be the kind of standard development time. Now you're looking at, dang, now you're looking at 5 years. Now you're looking at 6 years for some. Like when you think Halo 5 to Halo Infinite, we're going to be going on 6 years for that game to come out. So are people going to commit to that as developers, especially for the cost that goes in and the time that goes in to make these games? Are we going to be committing to that? Or are they willing to commit to that? Because that is a lot of time. Because to make a trilogy, maybe it used to be 6 years, 9 years. But now when you're talking about 15 years, now you're talking about 16 years for one committed story. I don't know. I would say that's something that's probably against trilogies. And so we may see more two-parters. We may see more one-off stories as we go along. Another thing in the gaming industry is the rise of live service games. These are just games that we see time and time again that are just absolutely never ending. They just go on and on and on and on and on, kind of like how I talk sometimes. It just goes on and on and on. That's a point against live service, against trilogies. Because if you have a live service game that never ends, you're not making two, you're not making number three. Like, are we going to see a Destiny 3? I doubt it. You're just going to keep adding on to Destiny 2. And even if you look at Assassin's Creed, right, they're doing Assassin's Creed, Infinite or Infinity or whatever it's called. You think there's going to be an Infinity 2? Probably not. Even Halo Infinite, we're not going to see like a Halo Infinite 2 or a second game in that sphere. I think it's just going to continue to add on to that base game. So the rise of live service games are really going to start hitting our trilogies in really impactful ways. And we're just going to see less of them, I think. Because of the long time, here's another thing. Because of the long time, they may become irrelevant in between games. So if you have to develop a game for 5, 6 years, by the time you get back around to this game coming out, it may be irrelevant. People may not be on board with your series anymore. That's kind of the one thing with Halo, right? Like, it has a strong fan base because it's been around for so long, but even Halo, especially after 5, which was a weaker entry, coming into Infinite, like, I'm excited for it. I have my reservations about it, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who are just like, meh, whatever. I'm sure there's a lot of people who really just don't care. Halo used to be the biggest thing in gaming. And now it's kind of like, yeah, Halo's coming. It's exciting for Halo players and for maybe younger siblings or children of Halo players. It's an exciting thing. But is it still as relevant as it used to be? I don't know. That may be a questionable thing. And part of that may be because it's been so long between 5 and Infinite. A whole nother generation of gamers has kind of grown up into that time sphere where it's been gone. So that's one of the other questions when it comes to trilogies. Is your story going to become irrelevant in between these games? And then one of the other things I put down, it just may not be completed. We've seen so many trilogies and games, especially in the Star Wars series, right? You get Battlefront 1, Battlefront 2, that's it. Like, it's somehow always in the Star Wars trilogy, I find there's so many third games that I want. Knights of the Old Republic 1, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and no 3. No 3's for you. So you could also run into the situation too, where maybe you have a really bad second game and you don't get the funding or the green light to make a third. That could be very, very possible. So now you're sitting there with a story that has 2/3 completed, but will never get the finale. And that's always frustrating, especially from a story, you know, point of view. So that's kind of some of the points I thought that are against trilogies. Cost and time is going to be a big one from the developers and the publisher's point of view. The rise of live service games are going to have a huge effect as games last longer and just get updated. Games may become irrelevant in between their sequels. And then you just may get trilogies that are not completed. Now, for trilogies, here's kind of the benefits that I was thinking of. You have IP growth and recognition. I think that's a really big part of it too. I mean, if you put out one game as a standalone, yes, it's going to be a good IP, but if you really want to grow that IP and have that IP recognition, you usually have to have sequels, maybe a trilogy come out as well. So I think trilogies are a great way to, again, expand your IP, to grow it and be able to spread it to more and more people. With trilogies, you get a higher chance of success for part 2 and 3. If one is a really great game and people absolutely love it, you can pretty much almost guarantee success for part 2 and part 3. Now, if part 2 absolutely flops, maybe not a part 3, but you can guarantee it's almost guaranteed, you know, paychecks. Especially when video game companies and publishers are looking at the money. Because again, they're not always looking at the story. They're always looking at the money. And if one is very successful, they're going to green light 2. Because they know if one's a success, 2 is going to be successful. If one's not, well, maybe it's a little bit of a hit and miss for that sort of thing. But trilogies, usually if you nail the first one, you got a high rate of success going into 2 and 3. And then future stories after that as well. So trilogies kind of bring along the added benefit of not a guarantee of success, but a higher chance of success, especially financially. Trilogies are also a great way to bring players into the next generation of gaming consoles. And we see that especially with PlayStation. On PlayStation 5, we're getting a lot of sequels to these PS4 exclusives, God of War 2, Spider-Man 2, Breath of the Wild 2. So it's a great way if you're doing trilogies or sequels to these major games, they're going to drag people along. So the ones maybe hopefully didn't fall off in between games, they're going to go to the next console. They're going to be part of that ecosystem to be able to continue that story. And that's really the strength, I think, of trilogies. When you got exclusive IPs, when you got really strong IPs, they're also going to bring it into the next generation. So it's a great way to keep going. I mean, live service games can do that too, but trilogies are a great way for that. So that's, and I only kind of had those three there. So let me know for trilogies, when, you know, for four trilogies, I don't know, thumbs up for trilogies. I'm not sure really how to say that there. Again, let me know your notes and your thoughts on these things. What are some things that are, you know, working against trilogies when it comes to the gaming industry and their chance to continue to exist and succeed? And what are your points for what's working for trilogies in the gaming industry that they can continue to be made and can continue to thrive? Again, I'll go against, go with mine. So against trilogies, again, cost and time, rise of live service games may become irrelevant in between the games, may not be completed. For trilogies, I said, it's a great way for IP growth and recognition, higher chance of success for part two and three, so financial security, and it brings players into the next generation to continue the story. So now, going back to our main question that started this whole conversation, do we need to change our expectation as the industry evolves when it comes to trilogies? I think, yeah, maybe we do. I don't think we can get a brand new game anymore and think that's going to spawn a trilogy. I just don't think we have the privilege either. I just don't think that's a viable option for us to expect those things. I think we can expect a good one, a good original game. I think we can expect a solid sequel. Will we get a third? Yeah, that kind of gets a little iffy at this point, just from the points we went over. So I think we do need to start adjusting our expectations, but I don't think trilogies are going to completely disappear, at least not right away. But at the end of the day, like I said before, folks, this is a discussion. So what do you think? What points can you think of that are going to be against trilogies when it comes to the gaming industry, or for trilogies? Let me know what's on your mind. Again, you can head down to the show notes and click on those links right there, and let's start a discussion here. Let me know what you think. With that, let's move on into our third topic of the day, and we're going to be talking about Deathloop to kind of wrap this whole thing up. So this is really one of the weirdest gaming moments that just happened last week. A Microsoft studio released a PlayStation 5 exclusive game, and it's absolutely freaking killing it. Deathloop is absolutely killing it. The reviews are very high, and we have the potential to be looking at a game of the year here. The potential is definitely there. So I thought that was one of the interesting things that happened this last week, and I haven't got the chance to play it yet. I really want to. Maybe I'll get it on PC. We'll have to see here. But yeah, when we look at the different reviews for this game, it is just crazy. Let's take a look at some of the major reviews here. So PC Games gave it a 10 out of 10. IGN, 10 out of 10. PC Gamer, 89 out of 100. Windows Central, 4.5 out of 5. GameSpot was a 10 out of 10. Games Radar was a 4.5 out of 5. VG247 gave it a 5 out of 5. NME, 5 out of 5. VGC, 5 out of 5. Game Informer, 9 and 10. You're a gamer, essential. Whatever that means. So, yeah, absolutely. Like, when you look at the reviews from the industry, very, very highly rated game. But, and this is one I've been excited for myself personally. This is one we've seen a lot of trailers for. It's got a great vibe to it. It's made by Arkane. You can tell, like, and I've talked about before, the idea of this time loop and this puzzle, trying to figure out all the pieces to get them in the right place, but also dealing with this other assassin, Juliana, who could be an AI, or other players jumping into your game to ruin your day. Like, it just sounds so cool. And I'm glad a lot of people are really enjoying it. And while the industry has rated it very highly, sometimes there is a disconnect between the industry and the general audience. I know the Steam reviews have got it mostly positive. I think it's 5,000 and some reviews last time I checked. I think 5,900 maybe, some along those lines. And it's mostly positive, so there are people who still have issues with it. But it's mostly has positive reviews. So it's looking like a really, really solid game. And I'm thinking maybe I'll do a live stream for it. We'll have to see. Maybe I'll do a live stream playthrough. What do you think? Should we do that? Because that's something I think I would do. Get it on PC. Because I don't have a PlayStation 5 yet. Because damn near impossible to find. I was really close one day. But just a little bit short. Just a little bit shy of time. I got the notification. Or I saw the notification a little bit late. So I didn't get the opportunity to jump on it. By the time I got there, they were all gone, which doesn't take very long for sure. But maybe I'll do a live stream of this. So if you guys would be interested in this, let me know if you're down. Because if you're down, I'm down. I don't mind putting the money on this because I'm excited to play it. I just thought maybe I'd wait for a PlayStation 5, but maybe we'll do it on PC. Let me know if this is something you guys would like to see. But I'm very excited. This looked like a great game. Obviously, the team put a lot of heart and a lot of effort and a lot of thought into it. And I'm always excited to see games just knock it out of the park and for people to love them. That's just the best thing to see. So let me know what you think of Deathloop. Have you got a chance to play it yet? Are you excited for it? Do you want to play it? What do you think of the industry reviews? I think it's great to see the industry absolutely loving and embracing this game. And if you want me to stream it and you're going to come check it out, because I'd be down if you're down, let me know what's on your mind. And that's all for this episode of Gaming Night Radio. Let me know what's going on inside that melon of yours. What are your thoughts on today's topics? I would love to chat with you. You can leave a voice message on speakpipe.com/GK Radio Connect. Email me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com or DM me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. The links are down in the show notes, people. Remember that. You don't have to remember these things. They're down in the show notes. Give it a click and away we go. We're also going to be live recording episodes soon. So follow me on twitch.tv/gamingnightradio as well. And just a reminder, seeing we're talking about streaming here, we're going to be streaming Halo Infinite, the tech preview. The tech preview number 2 is going to be on Saturday. We're going to stream it on the 25th. I was going to do it on the 24th, but I'm working. So I got to work that Friday. So it'll definitely be on the Saturday, the 25th, and that's coming up this week. So come on by, make sure you follow me on Twitch, and we'll stream that together. And then I've also heard, they just recently announced that there's also one coming the next weekend as well. Back-to-back weekends of Halo Infinite. So maybe I'll try and stream that too. There's actually a lot of news that dropped tonight. So maybe I'll have to do another episode this week. Because there's some stuff going down with Activision again here as well. That we should really be touching on, taking a look at. Maybe doing an update for that here too. So lots of stuff happening. I'll for sure be back next Tuesday with another episode of Gaming Night Radio, but I might be back just a little bit earlier, maybe a little bit later on this week, but for sure we'll do the streams on Twitch. Anyway, keep an eye out and follow me on Twitch, on Twitter there, and you'll always be up to date and you know what's going on. This has been episode 24. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for listening. I'm Matt Ailu, and until next time, bye-bye. You've been listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights. With reviews, news, and discussions, we celebrate the best of gaming and call out the worst. Follow me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. Thank you for listening. See you next time.